You're listening to Memoirs of a Gaysian, the podcast, with your host, Peter Perry Lyons.
Hello, hello to all the Gaysians and people of other persuasions. You're listening to Memoirs of a Gaysian, the podcast hosted by me, Peter Perry Lamb. Let me start off by saying happy Pride once again. If you are new to the podcast, you may or may not know that I am gay. With a title like Memoirs of a Gaysian, I would hope it's pretty clear. And, I mean, what, this is episode 8, I think? So you probably know that I'm gay by now. Today's episode is the equivalent to a Golden Girls Clips episode. If you're not familiar with what that is, Google that. It's pretty funny. Literally, the writers were lazy and decided to write no script and just have the four ladies sit in the kitchen and just play clips from previous episodes. Genius slash rude, but I sat through and watched every single one many times. Today's episode, like I said, a clip show. It's a culmination of a couple of interviews that I did with close friends of mine. First and foremost, I speak with my friend Brandon about the new Taylor Swift song and music video for You Need to Calm Down. More on that during that interview. And then, of course, I speak to my friend Sean, who is gay and also Catholic. Something that I have always been very curious about, just because I actually know a lot of people that fall into both of those categories simultaneously, concurrently, and I think it's such an interesting dichotomy, especially within that religion. You know, you think about being gay in a few other religions, and it's not as serious. Like, I know a lot of gay Jews, and it doesn't seem to be uncommon or really a point of contention, at least for a lot of the Jewish men that I know, and Jewish people in general that happen to be queer. But yes, so we kind of delve in deep into Catholicism and gay and that kind of intersection there. But before I get ahead of myself, let's just get right to the meat and potatoes of it all, and we'll start off with my friend Brandon. And I'm back with my guest, Brandon. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Lovely. Is this your first podcast?
It is, as a matter of fact.
That's so exciting. It's so janky because literally I just have you on a speaker on my phone and then I'm pointing it towards my mic.
Perfect. So everything I dreamed of.
Everything you dreamed would be, exactly. So high tech. Okay, so Brandon and I went to college together. He's still, after however many years we've graduated, a really good friend of mine. And when I was thinking to chat about the new Taylor Swift music video slash song, the first person that came to mind for me to talk to was Brandon, because he is a hardcore stan for Taylor Swift. And yeah, I think you're absolutely the perfect person to talk to about this topic. So before we even get deep into it, in case you've been living under a rock, Taylor Swift released a new song called You Need to Calm Down. It came out about almost 2 weeks ago at this point?
Yeah, it came out on the 14th on Donald Trump's birthday.
Very, very appropriate. And if you haven't watched the video or heard the content of the song, it's just very much so about equality and just kind of giving queer people more visibility. The actual music video itself has a slew of queer celebrities, people that are drag queens, people that are gay, lesbian, non-binary, trans. Literally the whole acronym is represented in this music video. And the reason why I want to talk about it is because the queer community has been kind of clapping back at Taylor Swift.
For sure.
For sure, exactly. You know, I mean, there's this great meme out there that's like, gays asking Taylor Swift years ago, please, like, have more representation of queer people in your music and show outward support and donate and show philanthropy. And then Taylor Swift does all these things, donates $113,000 To what, GLAAD or something like that?
Yeah, their official name is like Tennessee Equality Project or something.
Yes.
They have an affiliation with GLAAD in some way.
Yes, and and then her music video shows queer people of color and trans people, and like I said, the whole spectrum. And then Gage responds, "No, Taylor, that's just too much. That's too much."
Of course.
So I personally have issue with the fact that people in our community are being picky about who our allies are and how our allies decide to show up for us. Now, the reason why I wanted to chat with Brandon is because he, like I said, is a big Taylor Swift fan and has been for a long time, I assume.
My first tour was Speak Now, and I believe that was 2012.
Love that. Speak Now, that wasn't her first album, was it?
That was not her first album. I had been like a low-key fan, and then when I saw her live, like, everything blossomed. Like,
I mean, I saw her on the Red Tour.
So that came right after. It was amazing. That was probably my favorite tour.
I love, first of all, Red is one of my favorite albums in general, like, especially of her music. But I like Taylor Swift. I've liked her since her country days. The only album I don't really like all that much is Reputation.
And I know, we disagree about this.
It's okay. I'm okay with not liking Reputation. It's just not my, I don't know, not my cup of tea, but whatever.
Right.
But let's get back to the point here. What were your initial thoughts, Brandon, when you first saw the song or music video and heard the song?
So, like any diehard, I had watched her do the announcement the day prior. She said, like, at 5 o'clock on Instagram, tune in. She's going to be dropping some information. So she actually announced the album title, how many tracks, and this next single, the You Need to Calm Down title. And she said that it would be out at midnight, and a music video would be following on Monday. And as someone, it's not that I didn't enjoy me. It didn't have a big impact on myself. So I was really looking forward to the second single, which a lot of her fans know it sometimes goes in a very different direction. I mean, with 1989, you had Shake It Off, which was very pop blaring. And then she kind of moved into Blank Space, which was a little more self-deprecating.
Yeah.
So it always has like a totally different vibe. So even if that first song is a miss sometimes, I just look forward to the second one. And she gave me that. I was really excited about You Need to Calm Down.
Yeah, I will say in general, this summer has been great for women in pop because they have been dropping these bops like week after week after week. Like Katy Perry dropped hers, and that was kind of a harken back to almost her like teenage dream years, which was great. But yeah, and like I said, like you said, actually, Taylor Swift with You Need to Calm Down was just a politics out of the way there. It's a good, fun pop song.
Right.
So clearly you liked it. I would love to know your opinion on, I mean, of course you started seeing the clapback. Like what was your first few thoughts when you saw that?
To me it felt typical. I mean, everybody always has an opinion. I think that when there's anything social or political involved with an artist's statement, not that you have to kind of mute your opinion, but I do feel like you need to weigh the impact that it's having on someone who is experiencing things that are the same as you, but are in a totally different situation, like that 13-year-old boy who's just coming out and hearing this finally from someone that he's looked up to for many years. Or, I don't know, like, you just have to really kind of feel the entire situation out rather than just say, I don't like it, or it seems tacky to me, or however people are responding.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people just have been saying, like, hey, how shady that she dropped this during Pride and she's, you know, commercializing and kind of, I don't know, banking on queer rights and whatnot. And I in my mind, I'm just like, okay, but like literally every other company, even the ones that are doing good things with that money, has been profiting from Pride Month. Like literally every logo is a rainbow logo. It's like, oh, it's the rainbow Target sign. It's the rainbow right. Walmart sign. It's like, all right, cool. They're all doing it. No one's saying anything about that. Like, what's right. up with Taylor Swift doing it? And then like what kind of adds fuel to the fire for me is just like these people that are just, you know, it makes it feel like the queer community is supposed to be this really exclusive club. Mm. And I'm just like, I get it. We've gone through a lot together and there are some really intense battles and we're still fighting those battles. But like, we're not this like exclusive club. Like the idea is that we want to be, at least to me, the idea for me is that the queer community is just a part of the world and everyday life. And it doesn't ever, the idea is one day it doesn't need to be a conversation anymore. You know, like right. that we're just everyday people and, you know, no one's discriminating against us. So mm-hmm. To your point, you know, about that, the idea of like, you know, the 13-year-old boy that's listening, in my mind, I was saying like, look, it's probably there's some guy in his car, we'll call him, I don't know, Kent, in Wisconsin, right? In Wisconsin, who is listening, who's on his phone, and all of a sudden the song comes on, he watches it through because he kind of low-key likes Taylor Swift, and he's like, huh. And on his phone, he just saw the Five Guys of Queer Eye. He saw Billy Porter in an afro and a dashiki strutting down in heels. I was waiting
for the moment you were going to bring up Billy Porter in on this. Because everybody knows you love you some Billy Porter.
I have loved Billy Porter for years now. Like, he is an idol of mine. He is a vocal idol. Yeah, an acting idol.
So that being said, I want to hear your opinion on Billy Porter making a cameo in this, Peter.
In my mind, if Billy Porter said yes to this, if he said yes to the project, I wholeheartedly believe that he did it for the right reasons. And I wholeheartedly just follow what Billy Porter does.
I want to echo that sentiment. Even these naysayers who maybe don't think that Taylor Swift does everything genuinely, look at how many people agreed to do this and why they agreed to do this. And if you are a fan of one of these people, then you have to kind of find merit in the projects they choose to assimilate themselves to.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, I was, you know, one thing that I kind of pulled from is that she, you know, had like, I guess like 6 or 7 drag queens.
Right.
Not including RuPaul, cause he was just as RuPaul and not in drag, but she had drag queens that spanned the gamut of Drag Race. It wasn't, like, just the most popular ones. I'm not really sure how she must have reached out to them, but, you know, it looks like she kind of did her research and, like, picked the ones that were apropos for the character that they might have played in the music video. And also, from good sources from other podcasts and just people in the drag community, all those drag queens were paid very well. They were all...
I keep hearing this.
They were paid very well, which, you know, like, drag... Sometimes that's not the case. A lot of drag right. performers are kind of just like, oh, you'll do this for the exposure. Well, that's not the case anymore. And, like, what else did I hear about Taylor Swift? Like, apparently she pays her band year-round, too.
I believe that.
Yeah, even when they're not touring. Like, she's doing good things, and I don't know. It to me... It felt just very extra that some gays were just like, calm down. You need to calm down, Taylor Swift. And I'm just like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, she made a sizable donation. And then in addition to that, she's bringing attention to the Equality Act.
The petition.
So her petition's at about 400,000 likes, I think. The goal was 500,000, and Tim Kaine has signed, Elizabeth Warren has signed. I mean, she brings a lot of clout to whatever topic she chooses to shed light on, and right now it's gay rights, and I'm here for it. Like, I'm going to be here for it no matter what. But
you're going to be here for Taylor Swift's Las Vegas residency in 2059.
No, I will attend anyway.
All right. Well, I mean, ideally, I should have had someone that probably had our opposing, like an opposition to what we think. But truthfully, I've just been looking for someone to spill the tea with. And I'm glad it was you, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We're going to take a quick little break. And when we're back, we'll chat some more about other gay things, probably. Stay tuned.
And we're back, and I have my guest and friend, Sean, in the house here. Actually, I'm in his house recording. How's it going, Sean?
Welcome to my house.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me record here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, please. We've been friends for a good long time. I guess technically we met when we did that the summer stage show. Mm-hmm. We did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, right?
Hunk. Hunk Jr., I think, was first.
Didn't you do Charlie Brown?
Yes, was that
no,
first?
No, that was first.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, sorry. That was when I was a nobody at summer stage. Nobody
knew
who I
was. Okay.
I was just filling the Asian quota.
Okay, so before I was the little people.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
I elevated to little people status the next year.
So, we went to high school together. We didn't go to elementary school together because you went to a Catholic school.
Correct.
Up the block.
Next door.
What?
Didn't you go to the school next door to mine?
Oh, yeah. I did. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You're right. We were next door.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's like a very Delaware County thing to have a to have a Catholic school
what
right next to a public
school. What parish are you from? Exactly. Where do you live? What parish are you
exactly.
from?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course, I went off to college and pursued theater. What did you go to college for?
For music. And while you took the track that was right for you, I took the track that was right for me. And we both pursued arts in the way that fit our personalities and really shaped kind of who we are.
What was your degree in?
Music education.
Yeah. So you were a music teacher for like a hot second. Mm-hmm. And then you had like a church gig. You were a music mm-hmm. director for a church.
Yeah. For several years. And it was wonderful. I decided to move on from that because I felt like I had done everything I could for this congregation and I had learned everything I could from them. And so it was time for a change, and I'm glad I made the change.
Do you like having your weekends?
I like having my weekends back, yes.
I was like, bitch, let's talk about your weekends. Because yeah. We couldn't hang out.
We couldn't do anything. And when we did go out, I was always the poop of the party.
Or you turned up and you were just hungover at work.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know what? That's common amongst music directors, I would imagine, in the church world.
That's not out of place.
Okay, so let's bring it back to... you went to Catholic elementary school
mm-hmm.
and middle school, I guess,
mm-hmm.
technically.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you went to public school for high school. But you didn't just go to Catholic school because of, you know, for a lot of reasons. A lot of people go to Catholic school for a better education. You went specifically because you are of the Catholic faith.
Yeah, I think, although, you know, it's funny. So it'll come out, I'm sure, later in the interview that I am personally religious. I am a practitioner of the Catholic faith. But I will say that, believe it or not, even though that's part of who my family is, I did not feel like it was something that was forced on me. And I wonder if that is why I embraced it, whereas I see friends of ours that did have it very much forced, I would use that word. And they have not embraced it. And I'm sure that's not the only reason.
Yeah.
And I also, in no way, by saying that, mean to belittle our friend's experience. But it's something I have thought of, that I wonder if I had been forced into it, would I feel the same way that I was today, or that I do today? I think that I ended up going to school there because it was just what was expected as part of our like cultural identity as a family.
I mean, and it's very common practice in the
yes,
area that we grew up in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like half our friends went,
yep.
to,
and
went
my,
to that same
and so did my
elementary
parents.
School.
So did my parents.
Mm-hmm. And if it's not clear, you identify as
gay,
and you are a devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that later, but which is just interesting. And
dun,
I have,
dun, dun.
I pass no judgment on it because I personally am not a person of, I personally am not a person. Yeah, that makes sense. Of faith. I don't really have, I was never brought up with that. So I have a lot of questions and I feel like a lot of people out there have a lot of questions about that. You know, as an outsider looking in, at you specifically, I would have to agree. I feel like it came so naturally. Like, I always knew you as Sean. He's Catholic. He loves music. He loves, like, church music. He loves just the whole concept of the church. And it was very natural. And you know what's funny? We were always very blessed in our group of friends that no one ever judged anybody for anything.
No, and you know what, Peter? There was a brief period, I think probably like all or many, you know, young Catholics, I considered whether or not I might be being called to religious life, like to the priesthood or to be a brother or something like that.
Oh, I seriously thought you would at one point.
And I think that people in today's day and age, I think people think that really anybody who is very serious, that might be the way to go, or it might be expected. But I can remember when I went to the seminary for a preliminary interview, one of the things that it was just like an overnight, like get to see the experience, you know, and it was a good thing, but it wasn't, I knew then that it really wasn't for me. But regardless, in a conversation I had with the gentleman who was running the event, that was one of the things that I talked about, was that I so appreciated our friendship and the friendships we had in our group of friends, where really we all represented different groups. And at the same time, I think we never expected that each of us would represent our specific groups. So we never expected, all of us were of different ethnic backgrounds and races, mm-hmm. and we didn't expect that we could speak for all, you know, white people are all Asians or that experience.
No, I speak for all Asians. Yeah,
that's, Peter, you that's speak written. For all Asians and all Gaysians.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm the only one that speaks.
We never thought that people could speak to any specific religious traditions background. We could only come at it with our own experience. And I think that we appreciated that in one another. And that's something that I have always been proud of.
Let's take a quick little break. And when we come back, let's dig a little deeper. I would love to talk about how you kind of reconcile your faith with your sexuality today and in current political climates and the climate of our country.
Which I'd also like to note, if I may, is not unique, although to some is still very surprising.
Seriously, yeah. All right, stay tuned. And we're back, and I have my guest, Sean.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
So, you are still fairly religious. Yes. Devout, I would say, in the Catholic faith.
Yeah, devout's a funny word. I hear the word devout, I think, oh, we're loaded.
Yeah, I know.
It's a loaded term.
But, like, it doesn't... I feel the exact same way. Like, the word devout, anytime I hear it, I think crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Instantly, I think,
I like to think
obsessed.
I'm not crazy.
You're not. Not Thank at all. You. I mean, you know, not any crazier than, you know, Joe on the street.
Oh, she crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Just enough crazy.
But I am a practicing Catholic, and that's because my Catholicism has informed nearly every part of my life, and I feel enriched by it, and I appreciate the tradition.
And, I mean, truthfully, you're one of many friends that I had growing up that are very much so practicing within the Catholic faith. But you're probably one of the only ones that I know that happens to also be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And you are now, at the ripe age of 31, openly gay and openly Catholic. And, I mean, feel free to just chime right in. Like, I feel like a lot can be said right there. There's so much opposition there, and yet I still know so many people that have hit that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And some, I would say, have turned their back to their faith, which I understand to an extent as well, but you have not. So I would love to know why that choice and how have you come to reconcile with it?
Yeah, I understand that as well. Just let me start by saying that. I think people have had varying responses to their experience with the church as of late. And I think that's related to a couple things. I think here in this moment, we're talking about gay persons and their experience with the Catholic Church, but also because of the sex abuse crisis, which is the truth is coming to light.
Yeah.
More rapidly. And I think that's a good thing. I think the truth will set you free.
Yes.
And I think that it really is a test of humanity.
This kind of helps me visualize it. First, I appreciate, and I think a lot of people appreciate, that you used the word crisis when you talked about the sexual abuse within the Catholic Church specifically,
because
mm-hmm. It is. It is just unimaginable.
Yeah.
What these kids have gone through.
And I think it is just as completely shocking and sobering to many of us within the church as it is to anybody outside.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. And then, of course, historically, a lot of these deviants is associated
perpetrators.
Yeah, it's associated with being within the queer community, like that gay people or any other letter in that full acronym is associated with these being deviant.
That's right, Peter. And what might interest you, I don't know if you know this or not, but there are people, there's kind of a movement within the Catholic Church now among the laity, so people who are not ordained clergy, not priests, whatever.
You know. Laymen.
Yes, exactly. And lay women.
Lay women.
That are...
lay persons.
Yes, lay persons. that are suspicious of gay people as being part of the root cause of this problem.
Yeah.
And we have to be thankful that we have people on the inside, people who do have the sort of pedestal of being a public figure, people like Father James Martin.
He's great.
I digress. he is just the best. But anyway, among many things that he has repeatedly said, that homosexuality cannot be conflated with sexual perversion.
Yeah, for sure.
That it is a legitimate experience, that gay persons were born that way, to borrow a line from my favorite theologian.
Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga, yes. we really can't look at the mistakes of a few as being representative of a completely different population of people.
Of course, which are
gay men and women.
Unfortunately, mob mentality, which runs rampant in this country, especially right now, does lump that all together.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what you said earlier. You were saying that, you know, as you are someone who is Catholic and who is gay, you take on the burden of kind of writing these misconceptions and owning, having some ownership over it and becoming exemplary for the community.
Well, you know, Peter, you asked me to talk about the experience, and I think part of the experience is, you mentioned some people have chosen to stay and some people have chosen to take other paths.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I choose to stay, one of them, and this is both regarding the sexual abuse crisis, it's regarding the seeming hypocrisy of some of our leaders.
Yeah.
But also my experience as a gay man, I've chosen to stay because I believe change needs to happen from within. And I think that I and many people can contribute to that change in our small ways.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else that I have looked up to said, you know, we cannot do great things. We can only do small things with great love. And
oh,
so
I love that.
What I am trying to do in my work, you know, it might sound noble, but I would like to say it's not always there. I think it's something that I realize after the fact is, I think we can do big things by just our everyday presence and our everyday conversations and treating people with respect.
A big shout out and thank you to my friends Brandon and Sean for chatting with me on the podcast today. I had a great time and I really enjoyed hearing your points of view. To the rest of you, I want to leave you with this. Happy Pride again. Go out and have fun. Enjoy the festivities. Be safe. Be loud in your declaration of pride wherever you are. Be safe wherever you are. Let me stress that. If you're in the queer community, you know, it's a time to be with your fellow LGBTQ plus community. And if you're an ally, hey, thank you for being there. And I am not here to judge your allyship. Is that a word? Sure. It's a word now. Anyways, as always, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at PPL2006. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at Memoirs of Agasian Pod for any content that may not have made it to the actual podcast. And of course, for pictures, because you can't really see things on a podcast. And I have a little ask of each of you. If you have some time, you know, sitting in the bathroom, sitting in bed, wherever you may be lounging, if you got time, comment, rate, and subscribe to this podcast, for this podcast, all of the things, please. It helps me out. It helps me get sponsors. It helps me feel that I'm being heard because I'm needy. But yes, comment, rate, subscribe on whatever platforms you're listening on, whether, but hopefully it's mostly Apple Podcasts because that's where the money is. thank you so much. I really appreciate all of you listening. And yeah, until next time, peace out.